Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. To go on our website at www.wearethebride.us and register. Go on WATB-registration and register your ministry so that we can have you on the broadcast to feature what God is doing in your life. Also, there's a place on there for you to subscribe to our blogs. Every time we book a speaker, it shoots out all over the world to the people that are subscribed. Also, to you people listening in across the world, we have WATB Nation. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Hello, Bride. How are you doing tonight on this wonderful Thursday night? Listen, I am so honored to be here with you tonight, to have another chance to spread the gospel on the airwaves. Listen, Satan tried to take me out this week, tried to take this vision out this week. But God, can I say, but God, come together and brought the troops. So I was able to get some donations and able to get everything back up and running. Listen, this ministry is strictly by faith. So we are just running strictly on donations. So if you can donate and help the vision, that would be awesome at www.wearethebride.us/donate. Also, listen, we are doing Bride Fest now. We had our first one last weekend in Camden, and what it is a prophetic wedding. And that is where the bride, man or woman or couples, married couples, can walk down the aisle and have a say their vows in front of the Lord of all-out commitment to the Lord. It is total consecration, holiness, purity before the throne. You're just saying your vows. And listen, the Lord gave me these vows when I was in intercessory prayer. So it was very beautiful on Saturday in Camden. We had four ladies and two men. And let me tell you, there's so many reports coming in where it changed their life because the Lord woke me up that morning and had, told me angels were going to be there with them, and he had words for them and for me to anoint the bride. And so it was just really awesome. We went from 3 o'clock to like 7:30, and then when the community come in, all the bride was activating their gifts, more gifts. They went around praying for each other, and it went to like 10:30 at night. So what I wanted to tell you is that we have another one coming up in a couple of weeks at the Cornfield Revival Center in Columbia, Kentucky. Listen, if I wanted to marry the Lord again, because I married him in October of 2013 in a prophetic wedding, but if I wanted to marry the Lord in a public purity ceremony, I would want it at the Cornfield Revival Center in Columbia, Kentucky. This is the hottest hot spot in the United States today of revival fires. So all you revivalists, come in and, do your commitment to the Lord and just see how just your commitment to him in a public way and hearing what he says back about his commitment to you as his bride is just very beautiful. So go on our website and register that too at www.wearethebride.us/bridefest. Okay, now listen, today, now God has blessed this ministry in many different ways this week, not just financially, but through ministries that have pulled together and said, hey, this is not about one person, this is about the bride. So we want to help you accomplish the mission that God has called you to. So God has sent us more hosts and hostesses and has sent us more equipment. And we did post it on the Facebook page of some other equipment that we need. So if you could help with that, that would be awesome. But today I want you to meet one of our new hostesses, and her name is Miss Sharon Davis, and she lives in Indiana. So, Ms. Sharon, would you say hi to the bride?
Hello, bride.
Now, Ms. Sharon, please tell us, where at in Indiana do you live?
I live in north central Indiana. I live in a small village. It's near Elkhart, Indiana, and the larger town would be South Bend, Indiana.
I've got some family up there, and it's a very pretty area. How long have you lived in Indiana?
About 33 years.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a long time.
I was born in Michigan and then moved to Indiana about 33 years.
Well, I tell you what, I just went on a missions trip to Detroit, Michigan. That is so sad what's going on there. Listen, America, we need to pray for Detroit, because Detroit in America, we are a Christian nation, just throwing that out there. But number two, they are our neighbors, and the Bible says for us to love our neighbors. So we need to pray for Detroit, and if you can, get your youth group together and get some people in outreach ministry to go. Go to Detroit. I can hook you up with a pastor there that has a dream center, and he does need help. It's very devastating there. But anyways, Karen, let me ask you this. I would like for the bride to get to know you tonight. This is your time, and God's getting ready to promote you, so he chose you to be on the broadcast today. And I know that previously you was a missionary, and I just want to say this kind of prophetically. I feel the presence of the Lord. But by you partnering with We Are the Bride Ministries, you are a missionary to the bride. And this is a very different type of missions work, but it's a very much needed one. There are so many brides out there, so many that are hurting, and they need the encouragement, and that's what this ministry is encouraging the bride and cheering the bride on to fulfill the mission that God has called each one of them to, you know. So I want to honor you today, and I want to thank you for choosing to be a part of this mission and to help the bride. So if you don't mind telling us the story of who is Sharon.
Well, my life is a perfect example of how what Satan meant for evil, God intended for good. Our lives were planned before the beginning of time. God had it all planned out. That's how he's an all-knowing God. And before I was even born, the enemy was trying to take me out. The night I was born, my mother had a raging infection in her blood, and that was transferred to me. And the doctors told her that she needed to get her affairs in order because they didn't expect either one of us to live through the night.
Wow.
Well, today my mother is 92 years old, and
wow.
I'm I am 66. So,
oh.
But that infection left me with chronic illness. So I had been ill all of my life, and my early years were with my grandparents because my mother could not keep me and my father was not around. I experienced a lot of rejection, not really being wanted by anyone. And then when I did go to live with my family, my brother and sister really didn't know me. They were older than I. And so there was a lot of anger with them toward this sick little girl that came into their lives. And that led up to, even though I could give you details and it was very sad, it led up to my salvation. So I am not sorry for that today. When I was 7, we went to Bible school one summer, and I didn't really catch what was going on or what was happening, but my sister made me mad that night, and my anger rose to the surface. And I picked up a tiny little plastic knife, but it might as well have been a butcher knife, because I held it in my hand as though I was going to stab her, and I kept screaming, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you." Well, my mother stopped me, and my mother was not a spanker, she was a shamer. And so even after I had my sister forgive me and my mother forgive me, a little 7-year-old girl did not sleep that night, because in my spirit and my soul, I knew that I needed more than just their forgiveness. And the next day when we went to Bible school and they talked about being a sinner, that was my label. I knew that's what I was. So my salvation at 7 was very real, very traumatic. And at 8, I was baptized into a church where they never baptized children. You had to be a teenager. And a very shy, timid, scared little girl went before 12 grown men, the deacons of the church, to convince them that they needed to baptize me, that I really knew what I was doing and that was what I wanted, and they did. At 10, we had missionaries come to our church from the Belgian Congo in Africa, and we left the church that night, and I said to my mother, "I'm going to be a missionary in Africa." Just a statement, "I'm going to be." I knew I had been called that night to be a missionary. The life was still a lot of struggles. We were not a happy family. My stepfather was an angry, violent man. I was abused in about every way you can be. And so I made some wrong decisions as a teenager, and I married an unbeliever. And after that, I decided that I had given up the call. God had called me to be a missionary, and now I could not do that. excuse me. I was married 15 years, my first marriage, and really gave my life back to the Lord when I was about 25. I grieved and really grieved because I had given up this call to be a missionary. Many, many tears I shed. Until God said to me one day, "You can be a missionary in your own backyard." A missionary is one who is sent with a message. So many of us would fall into that category. and I began to teach a little Bible club in my backyard with my children and the neighbor kids. And then I started teaching children's church in our small church. And from there I went to, my first husband left us. I was alone then with 4 children. The oldest was 11 and the youngest was 2 weeks. And I moved off the farm and went to the town. Went to a large church and ended up designing a children's church program and seeing it, you know, come to fullness. That was my real moment of feeling fulfilled that I had answered God's call. I was alone 5 years with my children until I married again, and married a man who was on the outside the ideal Christian man. not so behind closed doors. So I went through 28 years of being totally controlled. He was a passive-aggressive controller. And I lost my identity. I lost who I was because I could make no decisions. I had no opinions. And I struggled in my faith during those years. But God was faithful. He never left me without opportunity to serve him, without opportunity to teach. And he began to show me different giftings that he had given me besides the gift of teaching. And that marriage was dissolved 4 years ago. And within 6 months, I was in Africa. God freed me from bondage.
Wow.
And set me loose to do what he had called me to do when I was 10 years old. I love the African people. I just had such a blessed time while I was with them. Came home, I was there three different times during 3 years. Came home unexpectedly the last time and intended to hop a plane and go right back, and God did not allow that to happen. So I was, again, struggling for the last 2 years. I've been home for the last 2 years. God did put me through the fire, and then he put me into the desert in the fire. And that's what he told me. You are in the refiner's fire in the desert. The reason for that was because even though I was going through the fire and seeing the sin in my life that had been buried for so long that I didn't even recognize, as long as God was with me, I could do it. And I said that to him one day. As long as you're with me, I can do anything life has to offer.
Yes.
And then he immediately took my awareness of his presence away.
Now, let me ask you this before you go any further. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, you're saying that you went through two marriages that
yes.
were with the wrong men, basically.
Yes.
And then during that time, you was not able to accomplish the mission that you knew when you was 10 years old you was supposed to do.
Correct.
All right, so after that, you followed the Lord to the call, and you was how old at that time?
Well, that was 3 years ago. I was 62, actually, when I went over there.
And that was your first time to Africa?
Yes.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. What
an awesome... You're never too old.
Jesus, I just give you glory, Lord, because you know what, bride, that is the truth. It does not matter your age to follow the Lord.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Follow him at all costs. When at any time, no matter your age. Thank you, God. I love this. Okay, now I want you to tell us about Africa. Now, here you are. I just want to say this, too, from studying culture, like when I was in London and stuff. You know, a lot of people that listen to this may not have ever been overseas, so they don't understand the difference of the hunger of people that are in the maybe third world countries or, you know, in the impoverished nations. So can you explain to the bride what your trip was like and what you experienced as far as their culture?
Boy, I could spend a long time on that. their culture is very, very different from ours. I went over the first time with a group of people. We went for 3 weeks. And this is just a little, note. By the time the 3 weeks was over, the bishop we were staying with had been approached by 8 different men to ask if they could court me. And I found out later the reason why is because in America, we are taught it is to look in somebody's eyes when you speak to them. That is showing confidence. and strength within you to look in someone else's eyes when you speak to them. In Africa, if you look in a man's eyes, that's an invitation to a romantic relationship. And I didn't know that. I found over there that you see more signs, wonders, and miracles happening in third world countries rather than the United States, and you wonder why. Well, I believe I know why. Because they don't have options. They are so poor, they cannot afford to go to a doctor. When they get ill, if God doesn't heal them, they're going to die. So they come in faith. Their only doctor is Jesus. And they come in the faith that God will do that for them, that God will heal them. I saw many people healed. I saw two people raised from the dead. it was just incredible how their faith works there. The real call back to Kenya, back to Nairobi, was the very last Sunday that we were there on that first trip. And I went into one of the ghettos with the pastor that we had gone over with. And I believe I know God showed me their spiritual life, not their physical life, but their spiritual life. Their physical life was like you see on television, where there was filth. They live in just little cubbyhole things where cardboard on the sides and on the top, and they're just crammed together. Nairobi is a city of 6 million people, and the majority of them are ghettos. And Kawangware was among the worst. We have a church, the mission there has a church in Kawangware. So we had to walk through, the ghetto to get to the church. And I saw no children playing. People did not talk with each other like we do here when you socialize. They wandered around aimlessly. I smiled at people and spoke to people and never got a response. They looked at me like I was really, an alien of some sort from outer space. It was dead. These people were living in devastation, and their spirits were dead. And we went to the church, and it was totally different within the church. The people that came to the church, the anointing was there. We prayed. We ministered. It was beautiful. We walked out of the church back into the ghetto, and the devastation was there. We came home that night to the bishop's house, and the pastor said to me, "Sharon, how are you feeling? What you can't go into the ghetto and come out and not have some kind of feelings." And I said, "No, I'm sorry, but I don't feel anything, and I'm not thinking anything. When it kicks in, I'll let you know." And she said, I'm here. I'll talk with you, and I'll pray with you, and I'm here. And I said, I really appreciate that. When it happens, I'll let you know. We sat at the supper table, and God literally backed me against the wall. I was at the end of the table. There was no way to get out of where I was sitting. I couldn't eat. I watched everybody else eat. And I was okay until the pastor and the bishop started talking about the bishop's life, the way he had grown up. He was a street child. And my heart began to crack. I could not believe that this tall, robust, strong man had been beaten and starved and had lived in the filth of the streets. And I began to cry. And the tears rolled down my face. Everybody noticed, and they left the table. So the people at the table that were left was the bishop on the other end of the table from me. And he said, "Sharon, are you okay?" And I said, "No." And I began to cry. And he talked with me for a while, and then it didn't seem to help. And I went upstairs, and the women all prayed with me. They gathered around me, and it was a beautiful experience, but it didn't help. And we all went to bed, and there were three of us in a king-size bed, and I was backed against the wall again. And I laid there and cried and cried and prayed and prayed. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got angry with God. And I said, "Why did you bring me here? Why did you bring me here to see this? And I can't do anything about it." And that was when he spoke to me. And I said, "I can't take them out of their circumstances." And he said, "No, you can't." Sharon, you can't take them out of their circumstances, but you can give them Jesus, and he can lift them above their circumstances. They can live where they are and still have love, peace, joy, and happiness where they are. And I knew that I was to go back. I did go back 3 different times after that and ministered in the school. The bishop had a school. I learned a lot about the culture and the people, and they are so loving. They are so open, and they are so loving. And you just become family instantly, but they live a very hard life. We went up into the mountains. We went into the bush country. Bishop had planted 30 different churches, and so we were constantly traveling to these churches to have conferences. And people would come. They would walk for miles. You might have the meeting start at 9 o'clock. That's what you scheduled, but you wouldn't begin until 12. Why? Because the people didn't get there. The meeting started when the people got there because they had no transportation. They walked. Maybe they had a bicycle if they were lucky. That's just kind of their lifestyle, and that's the way they function. And but they, with what little they had, they were generous with us. They honored us. We were treated like royalty. And they are so open to hearing the word. They're so hungry for the word. They so want relationship with God. I was blessed far more than I blessed, I'm sure. The last meeting that we had, conference that we had, I stood before 600 people, and most of them were students. And my gift is to convey the heart of the Father. And recently, God has extended that to the heart of the bridegroom. But at that time, I was sharing with them how much God loves them. And that, they're so hungry for that. They need that so desperately. When I came home, it was an unexpected trip. I came back with a missionary friend of mine who had become very ill. And God didn't send me back. He didn't provide the funds for me to go back. So I questioned after 6 months, 9 months, will I go back? God, tell me, will I go back? I'm not asking you when. I'm just saying, will I go back? And a young man that had been in that conference found me on Facebook and friended me on Facebook and said, you don't know who I am, but I was in the audience the day that you spoke, and you really touched my heart with the love of God, and that changed me. That changed my life. And I knew from that 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 was God saying, you will go back. I still don't know when, because God has opened up ministry with Father of Glory Encounters and Brian Christian. And I am now using all of my spiritual gifts. And now this, which I just feel so honored to be involved in such a unique ministry, because this is the heart of the Father for his leaders. God wants to build up, raise up, strengthen those who have been beaten down. I feel like I am very equipped to serve the church because I've been through about everything you can go through.
Yeah.
And God has brought me out of it. He has healed me.
I have to bring up a point that you brought out during your story. And it is so, so true. And Bride, please listen to this. All of us that are in outreach, that love helping others. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're in Africa, if you're in nursing homes, prisons, if you're preaching out on the streets, if you're helping hand out food to the homeless. That is something that really bothers us as leaders, as ministry, because we want to help everybody. And we want to help them to get out of their circumstances, and we have our natural reaction wants us to act in the flesh, like, you know, to reach out and do something about their suffering. But what the Holy Spirit told you is the same thing he told me. And it's so profound. And the bride needs to hear that tonight, because one time when I was in the nursing home, I couldn't stand all the suffering. I was like, Lord, please, what's the use of me going in the nursing homes if they can't rise up, walk, be healed, and be happy?
Right.
I mean, it's hard watching them in their wheelchairs with missing legs, and they're so sad and depressed. Nobody ever comes to see them. The churches are not coming to see them. You know, they're just like abandoned society,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
and the same with the homeless. They're shamed into, you know, hiding away from society, and much less the prisoners, who are definitely held captive behind the doors. And society, they're shamed by society, and
yeah.
a lot of their family members don't want to see them. So, yes, we know God sent us to all these places. We see the suffering. It breaks our heart, and it's like, what do we do about it? So I come home, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do about all these people in the nursing homes? I'm so sad, because I want to help them so they're not sad. And then the Lord told me, he said, what's more important, that they get healed or their heart? And I was like, okay.
Yes.
And then I was out at, you know, he's been revealing about the garden and the trees. So
mm-hmm.
one day I went to this house, and there was two trees in the front yard. And one of the trees was a big, mighty oak. And, I mean, this tree was so pretty. It had the prettiest bark and was so big and fluffy and, you know, had all the big leaves and was perfect and round. And the tree next to it in the same yard was skinny and frail, and the bark was different colors and missing half its limbs, and the leaves were ugly. So I looked at that tree. I said, oh, I feel so sorry for you, tree. I bet you just feel bad because everybody rides by and goes in awe over this one, and they probably never pay you no attention. You know, just kind of talking
sure.
to the tree for a minute. And the Lord gave me a dream that night, and it was the day before I was preaching at the nursing home after I had this conversation with God about the healing of the people. And in this dream, I saw the oak tree and the little tree. So the Lord gave me my sermon in the middle of the night. He does that almost every time he gives them to me in dreams. So I go back to the nursing home, and I mean, I was on fire then, boy. I was like, I know you're suffering. I know you're sitting there, and you're tired in the midst of your hell because nobody comes to see you and this and that. I said, well, let me tell you something. The Lord loves you, and every one of you are a big, mighty oak to him. Did you know that trees have missing limbs? Some of them have different colored trees. Some of them have missing bark. Some of them were in very violent neighborhoods, and they had all these storms hitting them all the time. Some of them just had birds that sit over them and poop on them all day long. So I would tell them, some have not. Some of them are half dead. Some are hollow. I
yeah.
said, but God, I said, if you will let him, he will make your tree a big, mighty oak, no matter what it looks like, you know, type of deal. But anyways, it is the point that God does want to let them know, no matter what their circumstances are, their situation, and we need to know this as missionaries, Bride. When we go to all these other countries and these people are suffering so bad, our eyes, it's hard on our eyes. And our hearts, because it just breaks our heart. But remember this, we are the tree of life to these people.
Yes.
We are the tree of life. And when we go to them, just the words that come out of our mouth, we're spewing seeds of life into them. And the love that they need to be able to endure the situation that their tree has been planted in. And God loves their trees. No matter what country they're in and no matter what circumstances they're in. So, anyway, going back to Africa.
Well, just let me say something for a moment here. It's all in perspective. It's either seeing through our own human eyes or it's seeing through God's eyes. And what you just expressed is that in the living of life. We see the poverty. We see the ugliness. We see the sickness. We see everything that needs to be changed in our mind. And God sees a beautiful heart. God sees a child that loves Him. And He wants to love back. He wants to love back. And no matter what circumstance you're in, seeing things through God's perspective and not our own.
Yes, Lord.
Okay, back to Africa.
Yes. So back to Africa, you said you've been over there 3 times?
Yes.
And now you're waiting on the... Did you go...
Oh. I'm sorry, I lost you.
So did you go over there by yourself?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Nigeria. I've been invited to Nigeria. In Nigeria?
Yes. I was in...
Go ahead.
I was in Kenya and Uganda, and the ministry goes down into Tanzania, or Tanzania, as we call it. I did not go down there, but I was traveled all over Kenya and into Uganda. I went through very dangerous situations with the bishop, and once by myself, and I learned that God gives you the words to speak that will protect you. I was approached by some Muslims one day, Muslim men, and one of them spoke to me and asked me how I was. And I said, I am God-blessed. And they all kind of looked at each other and talked to each other and turned around and walked away. And when I relayed this to the bishop, he said to me, oh, Sharon, you said exactly the right thing. If you had said anything about Jesus or mentioned, you know, your faith in any way, they could have dragged you off and killed you, and nobody would have stopped them.
Wow.
And but what that man understood, or the men understood that I said, they believe in God. They call Him Allah.
Yeah.
I was white. I was an American. They knew that. And I said God. But what I said to them was, I am Allah blessed. And so they didn't touch me.
Right.
So God, and I never say that. I never say I'm God blessed. It was God's words put in my mouth to protect me. Yeah. God, so the Lord is there. I never was afraid. Never was afraid. I was cautioned many, many times not to ever go to a place alone. But it was quite an experience.
Well, what do you do now?
My family is very important to me. I have 4 children and 22 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. And
wow.
I spend a great deal of time with them teaching about Christ, about the Lord, telling Bible stories. And so the teaching gift comes out there. The main ministry I have at the moment is on Facebook with Father of Glory Encounters. And the prophetic gifting comes out there. The intercessory gifting comes out there. Teaching comes out there. And it's just been a tremendous blessing for me to be involved in that. And the ministry is now, God's giving us legs. And so we're having conferences throughout the United States. There are several coming up. And I've been able to participate in that and just experience God's glory in a way I never had before. So I'm receiving tremendously right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we are very honored to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored and just feel so privileged to be a part of this ministry.
Well, just to let the bride know, you know, Brian Christian, he is another host on the broadcast. God is knitting hearts together, ministries together, and I believe it's because, and it's because we're all realizing we have to have, and so I would like for us to take most of our time that we have and pray. And listen to all of, I just want to say this right now by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That are a little more sensitive and that feel like they have missed God in their life, that they was not filled mission, that they missed Aaron. And they've missed it, their turn, to are a great testimony. Never been left with their 60s. Because, hello, he's in his 80s, mid-80s, traveling the world. So
yes.
Age has nothing to do with it. Because God can
yes.
He is the one that wants to take the if we will just give him a bend. So, sir, I would love for you to pray for those people to be testimonies of whatever they do in their heart is the perfect will of God, not perfect, but the perfect will, and that they would have the strength to do that, sister. Hello?
And I lost you again, yeah? Well, I would like to say as far as that is concerned, as far as age or education, requirements, talents, gifts, God is not looking for people that have, you know, tremendous education or that are in their 20s and 30s. To bring into ministry. God is looking for anyone with a willing heart. Anyone with a willing heart. Child, senior citizen, all of us alike. That's what he wants is a willing heart to answer his call and to obey him. And he equips us when he calls. So the equipping doesn't come first. The equipping comes with the call.
So do you mind praying for them today?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, Jesus, our Savior, our brother, our bridegroom,
yes.
Holy Spirit, our teacher, our counselor, our comforter, we just come before you today and we present ourselves at your feet, Lord.
Yes,
all anything that we have, what little we have, we offer to you, Father. And I just pray that you would break down walls, break down boundaries today of false mindsets that we have accepted and taken on that we can't. We can't because of whatever. There is no I can't with you. You enable
yes.
us. Empower us. You give us everything that is needed. It was all set aside before the beginning of time. You have it in storehouses. When we pray, we need not to beg of you. We need to come and say, Father, release into my circumstances for such a time as this what you already have for me, the angelic hosts that need to go before me, the ministering angels, the warring angels. You take care of the spiritual end of it, Lord. And you empower me physically. You give me strength. You give me wisdom. You give me your words. You give me everything that is needed to go forward to answer this call.
Yes,
we
Lord.
We know, Lord, that as we pray that way, we pray in your will because you have planned it and you have provided it. So we know we pray in your will. And what we pray in your will, we shall receive.
Yes.
So we just rejoice this day that whoever hears this, whatever obstacles you feel are in your way preventing you from following the call of God are not there. They are part of your mindset. They do not belong. Lord God, remove those things. Empower us to see through your eyes, from your perspective, your plans and your purposes, and that we just follow. And we praise you, Father, for using the weak, for using those that to the world would not seem to be healthy enough, strong enough, smart enough, beautiful enough, whatever it is. The standard of the world is not yours, and we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Bring people out of the darkness, Father, out of the hiding. Bring them out into the light so that they can serve you and just enlarge the kingdom. We can do what you called us to enlarge the kingdom, Father. Unite us together. Break down denominational walls. Break down boundaries. Bring us right together. Without one piece, we can't function properly.
Yes.
The body has to be together, united, in order to function the way you want us to. And we just bless you and praise you that that is your design. That is the way you planned it. And we are blessed enough to be a part of it. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Okay, now, sister, we're going to take a quick little commercial break. And we, I want to talk about Glory Ministries and talk about We Are the Bride Ministries.
Okay.
Are you a ministry that is not reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Vision Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us. and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Ministries, let me explain this a little bit. We did a broadcast about a month ago about the Bible Hotspot, and God divinely put together the leaders in one phone call. The Cornfield Revival Center on the call, which is in Columbia, Kentucky. We had Revival Fires Ministry, which is in Washington, D.C. Camden, Tennessee. And then we had Byron Christian, which was in California. Now, about Brian and Jessica.
Yes.
One specific location, like you had the cornfield is. They're in a business. But I do want to say that the survival starts. And now they do it in the middle of the house. Her history has gotten so busy. For what God is doing in Columbia, that they now have a tent that's traveling. They're at the conversation going on in two different locations. Okay, Jessica and Brian, we got to get talking about their vision. So we labeled it the hotspot. Because they have about, there's probably a lot more now, but followers on Facebook, and these are people that don't have connections in ministry. In the morning forward. That are prophets. These people are prophetic. They have been, you know, cast out by that they should be. just help me to keep her. Activated on Facebook. So he'll have, in case y'all want to join in, it's Father of Glory, Ms. Ray. Sharon?
Yes? You keep cutting out. I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Father of Glory, they open it up for people to operate in the prophetic like they'll have prophetic threads. And from your experience, I think you're on his board, right?
Yes.
Tell the listening audience on Facebook.
Could you repeat that?
Can you explain to them about how that works on Facebook?
The prophetic thread?
Ministry, the Father of Glory Ministry.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
The Home Glory. Well, over here, we may have, but I thank you so much, sister, for being on here with us. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I got you. Yeah, now.
Well, what it is we have a storm here in Nashville right now, so we'll probably have to just broadcast right now. But I just wanted you to tell them a little bit about Father of Glory Ministries.
Brian Christian and his wife Shauna started it, and it is a safe place. It is the place where revelation happens, and you're allowed to practice your prophetic giftings. I'm in charge of the intercessory group that's there. Intercession is so important to any ministry. Brian is a well-rounded person, his teachings are very well-rounded, and I've seen, just in the short time that we have been on Facebook, I've seen people come in, especially admins, come in from having been hidden, from having been isolated, to standing strong in who God has called them to be. We can see how the ministry is growing and how it will expand, and that's what it allows you to do. It's a place where the anointing is present, and the free flow of prophetic is definitely there. The instruction, the revelation of the word is so strong and so powerful that it changes you. It just changes who you are to gain the total perspective of the Bible, to take the Bible as a total picture instead of just pieces that we have, the history of the church has done in the past. I see us going from, in my lifetime, where knowledge was the most important thing, to an age of understanding. We began to understand the knowledge of the Word. And now this is a revelation. This is a life application of those truths that we have known. It's taking what the church has had in the past as a surface understanding, as a in the natural, to deeper levels of understanding what God was actually saying, what He was really trying to say to us through those things in the spirit realm, and to grow our spiritual person into the image of Christ. I've just been blessed beyond what I can say.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay. Really appreciate you sharing that. And that is letting y'all know out there how people are so hungry. And they are connecting on Facebook. And God is strengthening the bride through that ministry and through We Are the Bride Ministries. And
yes.
I just want to thank you so much for being a part of our ministry and being a part of his ministry and being a part of Miss Jessica's ministry. I think all of us pulling our resources together will be able to really, you know, leave a legacy with the last great army. And
yeah.
So I would like to take a moment to pray for the bride and speak encouragement into them today. I know there's a lot of dark things going on in the earth, and I want to encourage you all to not look. For myself, I see now why God has done what he's done in my life the past 2 years. He has totally consecrated me, taking me out of the media, taking me out of watching television, listening to worldly music, basically been in the prayer closet, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Been able to do a lot of cleansing and purging and abandonment and rejection, and so that I can identify with Christ's suffering. And now I see it with the bride because of what I've been through. I'm going to be able to help people, you know, to be able to let it go, let the world go. And I know some people think I'm crazy because I say that about walking in purity and unplugging the television, basically. But when I was studying in London, people, I studied media. I knew about it. I've been in school, and I know what it's meant to do, and it's not very good, and it definitely is damaging to your trees. It's damaging to your inside, because the Bible says that what comes in will come out. And listen, I know we live in the world, and I know we, you know, have to put up with worldly things. But like this, when I was in the grocery store today with that satanic music playing, basically, I call that hip-hop music satanic, but it was playing in my ears, and I was like, I plead the blood of Jesus over my ears, because y'all don't realize how that stuff affects people's spirits, affects their decisions. So we just got to keep ourselves covered in the blood of Jesus right now. So anyway, sister, first of all, before we talk about this other, I want to pray for you. And Brian, I want to ask that you all lift up your hands and come together in agreement with me for Miss Sharon and for her partnering with this ministry and for her own ministry, traveling to Africa again. So let's pray. Lord. Mission that you have called her to on this earth, Lord. We thank you, God, for her making it when she was born, for you letting her tree be alive. Even though the tree has had a few issues and it's had some great suffering, Lord, you love that great tree. I thank you, Father God, that you have brought that tree across to the nations, Lord, and you're using that great tree, Lord, to love others. And just like that one man, Lord, that one man that said, you made a difference in my life. And, Lord, I just feel your presence, because if it's all about one soul, it is so worth it. It's so worth it, Lord, to give you the glory, Lord. And I thank you, God, how you have revealed yourself to her, knowing that she can do anything and be alone and trust in you, like her being in that strange country and having the enemy right. Lord, it's so beautiful. I thank you, God, that you love the in our life, Lord, if we, you will turn that book around and use the rest of the time that we have for your glory. So yes. As the bride, we lift up our sister. We lift up her arms right now in the spirit. We pray, Lord, for our sister. We pray, strengthen her back. Heal her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Bring full restoration in her life, Lord.
Yes.
Everything that she lost comes to her 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, every one of the broken relationships of the past, Lord, heal those so that they would be set free and she would be set free, Lord.
Yeah.
Father God, we pray that you send the heavenly host army, the angel, to come down to her to help her to fulfill mm-hmm. the calling on her life
yeah.
that you have for her, God. I pray, Lord, that you did tools and strategies to be able to be as much of the perfect will that she can be in, God. And here in your, the clarity in her mind, the cleanness of her heart, the cleaning out of her roots, Lord, helping her, Lord, be restored, Lord, in so many areas, not just in relationships, but restored in her heart, restored mm-hmm. in her roots, so that her roots flow freely in the rivers of living water.
Yeah.
Then she can bear fruit for your glory and for your kingdom, God. I thank you, Father God. I mm-hmm. pray increase on the prophetic, increase on the love that she has for people, taking the scales off her eyes even more to see more of how you see things, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for all of the things that you have put in her path, Lord, for her to attach to
yes.
and to make the kingdom even greater, God. I thank you for that, God. I just thank you, Lord. And, Father God, I thank you, Lord, just in her, I'm just now in the spirit, just like the most crown, jewels on it, and I just thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, because you know the little things. It's our crown, Lord, and I just thank you, Father God, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, put people in her life, Lord. There's so much fulfillment of everything that has lacked in her life. I mean, lack is in so many different areas. It's not just money, but it's lacking in relationships. It's lacking in the love of a mother and the love of a father and the love of family members or the love of something. I pray, God, that the rest of her life, she never
Lord, Jesus, thank you.
I thank you, God. I give you glory. You're yeah. so worthy of it all, Lord. You're so worthy. And, Lord, I pray you open even more doors to nations and
yeah.
help her, Lord, to love people, you know, to be able to give her love to more people, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For her genealogy, I pray that every one of her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, that they would all achieve the destiny that you have lined up for them. And I, you say,
amen.
Right now, any
yes.
generational
yes.
curse that tried to come through that line, I bind that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I cast that out. In the name of Jesus, I speak freedom in her bloodline.
Yes.
No hindrances. Everything broken. All chains broken.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray you clean that genealogy, Lord. Purity,
yeah.
Lord. And I pray, God, that you take the scales off of every one of her family members that have been
yes.
blinded by the world that the world has tried to win. That's with anybody on earth. You know, but for her family member, I pray that
mm-hmm.
that would come off so that they would see the importance of to you, Lord, and serving you, Lord, and that they would see her and say, wow, She represents Jesus better than any person I've ever seen. Let the favor rest upon my sister of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you even connect her in her community. Connect her with favor with the government, Lord. Favor with I wanted to say principals, but favor with pastors, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and give you praise that she was on this broadcast today because you're about to do something so great in her life and for her giving back to the bride, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the rewards are worth it. The rewards are worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Powerful.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Powerful.
God, you're so good what you're doing in this hour right now.
Yes.
But I do want to pray real quick for the bride. Lord, me and her come together in agreement for the bride of Christ today, Lord. We know that the hour is dark, and we just pray that they don't look. Mm-hmm. We pray that they would get on their face and that they would seek you, Lord, more than they ever have. I thank you, God, that all of us, the army of the living God, has been called for such a time as this.
Yeah.
We do not look back at where we came from.
No.
We look forward to where our hope is. We thank you, Father God, that you are in front of us, Lord. You are in front of us, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that you would help us, Lord, on the staff of We Are the Bride to be able to help the army and to be their cheerleaders. To help them to achieve the mission, the supernatural mission. Because we all, anything through you that gives us strength.
Yes.
Awakening and the Texarkana and the New Breeder just all the ones, Lord, that you're hooking us up with so that we can all help the bride. Yes. And we just give you honor today, Lord. We lay this ministry down at the foot of the cross. And I lay my sister down at the foot of the cross, thanking you, Lord, for her life and her testimony and where you're going to take her to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So listen, for the bride, this song is just a good way for you to just enter in one moment.
see your beauty on the cross, removing my hidden dross. When I behold such sacrifice, I can't help but see. God, you're so beautiful to me, I can't help but see.
You this evening. We've got some great broadcasts coming up. And Miss Sharon, you still with us?
I'm with you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And y'all are going to be hearing her doing some hosting very soon. So we've
got
y'all tonight. Have a great evening.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye.